It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of John, John chapter 13. We're going to begin reading with the first verse, and we're going to read down through verse 11. So please open your Bibles to John chapter 13. We're going to begin with verse 1. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I hope that's given you enough time to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Always love that you've joined us to come and enjoy this time together. John chapter 13, beginning to read with verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper was being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, lay aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. And he wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, I thank you that we can come and enjoy this time together. I thank and praise you for your power and for your strength. I praise you that you save me. I praise you that you take care of me, Lord, that you secure me. I am safe in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has sealed me. Thank you, Father, that I may never be lost from you, that I may never lose my salvation. I thank you that I can come to you, ask you into my heart once, and you keep us, and you keep us securely. You save us, and you save us eternally. And Father, I thank you that you do continue to wash and cleanse me as we're going to look at the washing of the disciples' feet today. I thank you that you continue to grow me, and when I make a mistake and when I fall, Lord, you come and you when I come to you and ask for forgiveness, you cleanse me and bring me right back into fellowship with you. I thank you, Father, for all that you do. Please continue to grow each one of us as we study your word. Father, if there be folks out there, and I know there are, that do not know you as their Savior, please, Lord, today that you'll convict their heart and they'll come by faith to you and be saved. Now, Father, guide and lead us as we study your word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin with the first part of chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then it continues here, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. We look at those first two verses, and to begin with the first verse, we find something that we need to understand, and that is that this passage, as we spoke last time we were together, the public ministry of the Lord Jesus has ended. He has been rejected by the world. This message that we have here is only for his own, those that have come to the Lord Jesus. And yes, we have one stranger there being Judas Iscariot. But this is not for the Pharisees, not for the religious crowd, but just for his own, to hear his word. We looked last time, and we'll go through those very quickly, that Jesus said, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, in the first verse of chapter 13 there, we have followed through, in the Lord Jesus, there is a definite timetable that God the Father has sent for him. He is following that very carefully and very closely. And if you'll notice back in chapter 2, verse 4, he says, time has not yet come. And then he repeated it once again in chapter 7, verse 30, my time has not yet come. Chapter 8, verse 20, my time has not yet come. And then we have in chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus knew that his hour had come. And then here in John 13, 1, Jesus knew, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. And then one more following that is in chapter 17, John chapter 17. I'll turn to it here very quickly. John 17, 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. We look to these verses of Scripture to know, and as we will read the third verse in a few minutes, Jesus knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, we need to understand that Jesus is completely in control. He is the Master. And yet the things that we're going to follow him and see him do here very shortly, we should excite our hearts and we should learn from the Lord Jesus as we should always learn from him. But we do need to know that he was very obedient to follow his Father's will. And when that time schedule and that timetable was set, he followed it. He followed it closely and he followed it perfectly. And we find, as we read through those verses of Scripture, six different verses there, talking about not yet come, not yet come, not yet come. Jesus knew that his hour had come. Jesus knew when Jesus knew that his hour had come. And then in the 17th chapter, verse 1, Father, the hour is come. We need to enjoy this verse of Scripture as we should enjoy all verses of Scripture. And so once again, verse 1, chapter 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that should depart out of this world, and if you'll look, you'll find that to be cosmos, the world system. He's departing out of just this world, this world system. This is man's world. This is the world of sin, and Jesus will be departing it very shortly as far as his bodily presence upon the earth. You know, we love to see these verses of Scripture and to study them. Again, that he departed out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He died to save his own. He lives to keep them saved. God loves us with an everlasting love. The beautiful verses of Scripture here. The Father departing out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He died on the cross for you and for me. Will you please trust in him today and become a child of God, become part of the family, part of the kingdom of God? Will you come by faith to Jesus today and be saved? Don't be deceived by works or anything that you think you can do to accomplish or to acquire salvation, because it can't be, not without Jesus Christ and him alone, to come and trust in him. Please turn to him today. We find now in the second verse, the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. What a sad day to think that one of the few, one of the 12 that walked with the Lord Jesus, Judas himself was the treasure. He was one that was to be trusted and to be a servant of the Most High God, and yet we find that he was never a child of God. He was never a servant of the Most High God. He was among them. He walked among them. He watched them. He watched the Lord Jesus himself walk here upon earth. And yet, he still stopped and did not recognize the need for his sin, that he would come by faith to Jesus and have his sins taken care of. He didn't recognize that. He found other things to do and to ignore his spiritual need to come to the Lord Jesus, that he may be saved as well. By him neglecting salvation, by him neglecting not to come to Jesus Christ as his Savior, look at the potential. Look what could happen. Look what happens to the person that does not come by faith to Jesus. Because you see, when you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and the devil cannot indwell you. Judas failed because he rejected Jesus. He listened, he walked, he did all the right things, except for the most important, and that was to come by faith to Jesus. The word put, as you find in the middle of verse 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. The word put, as you find with the armor of God that a believer should have. And one thing that a believer receives when we come to Jesus Christ, and that's a shield of faith. That shield of faith protects our heart. Judas lacked that shield. And that word put there means to literally throw. And the devil began to throw fiery darts. And you see, he could not ward them off. He could not stop Satan's attack because he lacked the armor of God, because he lacked coming to Jesus Christ for salvation, that he may receive the helmet of salvation, that he may receive the breastplate of righteousness, a shield that he could keep before not only the breastplate over his heart, but also the shield guarding as well, the shield of faith. To girt your loins with the truth, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, to have the sword, all parts of the armor. Yet Judas lacked all of that armor because he lacked Jesus Christ in his heart. He lacked coming by faith to the Lord Jesus. And so you see, he was taken over by the devil. No one else in that room could that happen to, because they knew Jesus as their Savior, but not Judas. So you see, Judas was the only potential customer that the devil had. Oh, please, that you come to Jesus Christ today. Do not allow this to happen, that the devil and demons can indwell you, run you, control you. Please come to Jesus Christ today. Once again, you see, there was nothing that Judas could do to this point, at this point, because he neglected the free gift. He neglected salvation. So the attack of Satan upon his life and to come right in and indwell him was no problem, because he did not know Jesus as his Savior. We find some things to take place here. Just as we've read, supper being ended, devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil found somebody to use, didn't he? It continues, kind of stops there in verse 2 to make that statement of this awful event to take place. And then in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, He raised up from supper, lay aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Chapter 3, verse 35, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. So this verse has been repeated. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew what he had and where he was going. He was the master. He was the master of the situation. There was nothing that was hidden from him. He was aware that he had Judas Iscariot amongst him, his company, and that he was lost. He knew that. And he knew because of Judas's ignorance to come to Jesus, his failure to recognize his sin and to fall upon his knees and confess his sin and repent, turn unto the Lord Jesus and trust in him. By his ignorance to do that, his failure to do that, he knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew all these events that was going to take place. Jesus, knowing the Father hath given all things into his hands, that he was coming from God and went to God, all this he knew. There was nothing of what was going on that was a surprise to Jesus. And you know, if we be born again, as Judas should have been, but neglected it, as others in the group were saved, had come by faith to Jesus, if we be born again, we should be able to follow our Lord, knowing he is the master. Knowing he's well aware of every situation. Please that we follow him. Please that we follow him. He's about to give us an example. An example that naturally, normally, will not be easy to follow. Probably impossible. But you see, he never sets anything before us. He never gives us an example. Never tells us to be this way or this way without giving us power if we'll depend on him. And when we fail, it's because we're not depending on him. And my friend, we do fail. As I shared earlier in the prayer, if we come and ask him to forgive us, he is faithful to do that and restores us to fellowship. Doesn't give back our salvation, but it does give back our fellowship that we need so desperately to have with him. We find the Lord Jesus in verse 4. He raiseth from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and he girded himself. Because Jesus knew everything, he did this for a purpose. Because Jesus knows everything, he put himself into the position as a slave to show us something, to teach us. Jesus knows what we need to have, what we need to know. And again, here we find Jesus in verse 4, raises up from supper. He laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. He was beginning to take the place of the position of a servant, of a slave. We're not going to go back there, but I would like for you to be reminded of what we find back in Exodus chapter 21. There was a law put into place by the Lord himself, gave it to Moses, that a slave, a person that was in the position as a slave, as a servant, as a slave, would serve his master for 6 years. After the 6 years was completed, he is free to go. But there were many different circumstances that could enter into this relationship, into this situation. And one would be that if the servant chose to stay, his master was taking care of him, taking very good care of him. And the slave would say, "Why would I want to leave? I choose to stay." Another reason that the slave may choose to stay is not only the love that he would have for his master because of the care the master has had upon the slave, given to the slave. Also could be that the master gave the slave a wife, and they had children together. The slave, at the end of the sixth year, the seventh year, he may go free. But his wife and his children must remain. They stay the ownership of the master. They can't go. If the slave loves his wife, loves his children, he can choose once again to stay. But once he makes that decision, voluntarily he makes a decision to stay, there's an act that's taken place, and that is that that slave is taken to the doorpost or the gatepost, and his ear is placed down upon that post, and there's an awl taken, and there's a hole placed through that ear. It is evident that that slave will be forever a slave, forever a servant, willingly, voluntarily. And the only purpose that a man would do that was because of love. Love for his wife, love for his children, love for his master. But he would stay voluntarily, but never to leave. Never to leave that position. But it would be carried out because of love. Our Lord came. He came to this earth. Took on the body of a man. He stayed 33 years. And we're right to the end of that life. It's not going to be long. We're going to be looking at the trial, at the beating, at the crucifixion, at the burial, and then gloriously at the resurrection. All this was done, and the only reason he stayed is because of love. He has taken on the position, the place of a slave. And he stayed here voluntarily because of his love. That's how much Jesus loves us. You had to see the example. We have example after example through the scripture that gives us a picture of the Lord Jesus. And when I tell you many times that you need to look to the Word of God and you need to search the Old Testament, and as the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53 and could not understand, Philip attached himself to the chariot and began to preach unto him and teach unto him the same area of Scripture, the same verse of Scripture, and he preached unto him the Lord Jesus. Today, the preachers and the teachers of the world have left out the Lord Jesus, and they teach this just as a book and just as a textbook that needs to be studied and thought out, and then we'll use our own psychology and figure out how to use it and what to throw out and what to keep. No, my friend, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He is spoken of from the first verse of Genesis to the end of Revelation, and we must not discard any of it. We must believe it all, and we must stand and enjoy the fellowship of Jesus Christ with him. And you can only do that by coming by faith to him. his love. Verse 4, 3 and 4, Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into his hands, all things. Remember, he is in complete control. What Jesus is carrying out, Jesus is voluntarily doing. He is following his Father's will, but he's doing it voluntarily. Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, raised up from supper, and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. After he had poured the water into a basin, he began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. A slave. A slave is what Jesus has become. He is showing these disciples. Again, he's not showing the Pharisees. He's not showing the religious leaders. He's showing his own. He's showing his own, the disciples. I have become a servant, a slave, voluntarily, because of love. Washing his disciples' feet. That's something that the normal servant didn't even do. It was said that the normal Jewish servant wouldn't do that. A Gentile servant, maybe. Jesus took on the place, the responsibility of being a slave. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that ye may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Are you learning anything from this scripture? Are you learning that because of God's love, the love the Lord Jesus has for us, that he became a slave? The Father puts all things into the hand of his Son. Yet Jesus, with all humility, takes his robe away and bows down and washes the feet of his disciples. Jesus is teaching them. Jesus is teaching us. With all humility, not because Jesus was poor. You know, many people have to take a very humble, very low job of what you would look at because they're poor and they just have to take any work they can get so that they can feed their family and feed themselves. Jesus is rich. The Father put all things into his hand. And yet he chooses, not because he's poor, but because he's rich and he has the love. He became poor. He became poor. All things in his hands. Look at that. The Father puts all things in his hands. What's Jesus pick up? A towel. Being able to have all things. We must understand that true humility comes only from the Father in relationship with him. And the only way we can have a relationship with the Father is to know the Son. We must learn to be humble. Jesus serves, became a slave because of love. That same love we can have. And we can have that same humble heart if you'll come to Jesus today. Repent, my friend. Turn to him. What are you going to do about Jesus?